we're afraid to step out, when we're afraid to do something because maybe we'll get it wrong, maybe we'll mess up, maybe we're not good enough, you're going to miss out, and we're missing out. We need you to do what God's called you to do. We need you to obey God. We're depending on you. And so if you don't, it says that God will take that away and give it to somebody else. And then he ends it with saying, now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so, church, this is where I believe it's our responsibility to tell the truth. Because I don't want anyone on Judgment Day to be surprised. And the Bible says some people will be surprised. That they thought they were doing well, they thought they were serving God, they thought he was the Lord of their life, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. They were surprised. And so I think it's our job to read the scriptures and know the scriptures and do some self-reflection and say, is my life lining up with the Word of God? So is he truly my Lord, or are those just words that I say? Does he really have complete control over my life? Or I just show up on Sunday morning to feel good? Because that's not about it. When I think of God as master, I think of him as having an open-handed relationship. Because as I already said, God will not make anyone serve him. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to stay close to him. But if you want to leave, you're free to go. And that's where he's not a harsh master. He's saying, I've paid the price for you, but now I'm letting you go. If you don't want to stay with me, you can go. You're free to do whatever you want to do. But if we recognize him as Lord, we will realize that he is good, and I want to stay with him. And in the Old Testament, we know that the Old Testament is kind of like an example of what the New Testament, what's to come in the New Testament. And so the Old Testament gives this example in Deuteronomy 15, and it's talking about if one Jewish person gets another Jewish person as a slave because they owed them money and couldn't pay it, but after 7 years, you release them. But then it says, when you release a male servant, do not send him away empty-handed. That's verse 13. And he says, go ahead and give him stuff so he can go out into the world and do better for himself. But in verse 16 it says, but suppose your servant says, I will not leave you, because he loves you and your family, and he has done well with you. In that case, take an awl, like a metal stick, push it through his earlobe into the door, and after that he will be your servant for life. And do the same for your female servants. So, church, when we realize what Jesus Christ has done for us, that he shed his blood to purchase us, to pay the price of sin that we could not pay, and that we now have the option to serve him or to go, if we truly realize who he is and what he's done, we would say, I'm going to stay right here. There's nothing better out there. There's nowhere else I want to go on my own because I'll just mess it up. I hear an amen to that. Anyone ever try to do it your own way? Doesn't turn out good. So when you realize that you love him and he loves you, and that there's a place for you in his family, and you just say, I'm going to stay here for life. That's Lord. That's him as a Lord. And he is your master. So don't miss that. He is your master, but he's not a harsh master. He is a good, loving, kind master. We need to understand, because we can't just view him as father, which I didn't get into that, but some people do. He's just this good loving father, and they miss all the parts about obedience and about submission. And so if he is our Lord, we do have to give up our will and say, God, my will has now become to do your will. That is my will. And so that's our choice that we have to make. And the last one I want to look at here that sometimes I think people view is you either view him as Lord or you view him as a genie. He's this great big genie in the sky that whenever you need something, you just call on him and boom, poof, there it is. And I've seen that from a lot of people. I'll never forget, I was at a wrestling tournament, and it was years ago in Upper Sandusky, and I was sitting next to a lady, and we started having a conversation, and I don't know how or even why, but she pointed out a guy across the thing, and she said, that guy right there, he used to love God, but then something happened, his daughter died, and he doesn't want nothing to do with God anymore. Won't even have conversations about him. Because when we have this genie in the sky mentality, that means we think that whatever we ask for, God's got to do it. It almost becomes like we're the Lord, and he's our servant. He's at our beckon. And I've even heard people who don't really seem to have much of a relationship with God at all. But when they need something, they seem to think that they can just go to God and pray and say, God, I need you to do this. He's not a genie. He's not obligated to hear any prayer of a sinner except for the prayer of repentance that says, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior and I need you to be the Lord of my life. And then after that, he says he does hear the prayers of his children. But even to hear our prayers, church, I think we need to understand sometimes God will give you a no. He's not a genie that's just automatically going to do anything you want. Because sometimes he knows it's not good for you. And if we trust him as Lord, we will want him to give us those no's. I know there's been times when I was a teenager, there was a boy that I just wanted to marry. And I prayed and prayed and prayed for that boy. And I thought for sure this was God's will for my life. Can I tell you today I'm thankful that God shut that door. And he opened a better door that I didn't even see. Because he's my Lord. And I did. I remember during those seasons, I would pray. I'm like, God, I do want the right person. But I think this is who it is. So just work this out for me, because I'm pretty sure this is who you want for me. So he gave me a no. But then because he's my Lord and he loves me, he gave me a good gift and a good husband. And so in every area of our lives, we can trust that he knows what is best for us. But what we shouldn't do is come to him thinking we know what is best for us. Because too often we get it wrong. Anyone ever get it wrong? Anyone ever thank God that he didn't answer that prayer? There's a few prayers that we're like, oh Lord, what was I thinking? But he does hear us. And he does love us. But he's not a genie who will just do whatever we ask him to do. So Matthew, I do want to hit this one. And I think anytime I talk about Jesus being Lord, I always want to hit this scripture because I think this is where we get it wrong. This is where we think if we tell people we're a Christian, if we tell people we love Jesus, that we're going to heaven. And he's very clear that that's not always the case. And so in Matthew 7, starting verse 21, he says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. I'm just going to read that again. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I think one of my pet peeves is when I go to a funeral. Almost every funeral I go to, they're preaching people into heaven. I'm like, that's not our job. That's not our call. Now, there are some people that you look at their lives and you think, man, they love God, they serve God, they were walking in relationship with God, so we have a very clear hope that we're pretty sure we know where they're at. But then you go to funerals where it's people that didn't seem to have any kind of relationship with God. But yet the preacher's up there saying, God needed a gardener, God needed an angel. God chose to take him home. Church, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. He says it's only those who actually do the will of my Father. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. And so I want you to think for yourself. Are you doing will? Did he say it's only those that go to church regularly? Is that what it says here? Did he say it's those that pay tithes and offering to the church? Said. Only those who do the will of my Father. And this is such a sobering, sobering scripture for me. It says, on judgment day, many will say, everyone say that word many. That's sad. I feel like that's the church not doing their job. Because if we're speaking the truth to people, they should at least know if they're right or if they're not right. And these are people that didn't know. They thought they were okay. But he says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We perform many miracles in your name. And Jesus says, I will reply, I never knew. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Church, him being our Lord is very much about relationship. It's not about just wanting him when you need something. When you're facing a demon and needs to be cast out. When people need a word and you want to give them a word of prophecy. When someone needs a miracle, so you're operating in faith because you know the word of God and you can operate in faith. It's not about needing him in the moment and you're rubbing a little lamp and saying, Lord, Lord, I need you now. And did you know that there are times that God will be faithful to his word even when the people speaking the word are not faithful? Did you know that is possible? And that's why you can't look at a situation and think they're right with God because of what they're able to do for God. It's just about their relationship, their day-to-day walk with God. It is about the condition of their heart. And is he the Lord of their heart? Not the Lord of the part. They can talk right. You could look and think they have it all together. They could fool everyone in this world. But they will never fool Jesus Christ. He knows if he has a relationship with you or he does not have a relationship with you. He knows if you're doing the will of the Father or you're doing your own will. He knows the difference. And I believe that is our job as a church to make sure we are telling people that so they're not caught unaware. You know what? If you don't want to serve God, that's your choice. He's given you free will. But I at least want you to know you're not serving God. We do a disservice to this world when people are thinking they're okay and they're not okay. Church, there are times that we need to speak up. When we hear people say something, if you have an opportunity, if you have a relationship with someone, if you hear them saying something that's incorrect, you don't have to be mean or hateful. But man, you can bring the truth and you can bring the light. I just want you to understand this is what the Word of God says. I don't want you to be mistaken on this because this is serious business and this is about your eternity. And I want to make sure you understand what the Word of God says. In church, that means we need to know the Word of God, correct? That's why here we're telling you all the time, it's not about just hearing scriptures on a Sunday morning. It's about a day-to-day getting in your Word, knowing what the Word of God says because people are depending on you. Your life depends on it. Their life depends on it. He is truly your Lord, then he is the one ordering your steps every single day. And I guarantee part of those steps are going to be you spending time with him in prayer, you spending time with him in his word. That's about relationship. That's about growing that connection with him. You need that. It's not optional. And we're not saying it has to be this many hours a day or this many days a week, but I'm saying God will tell you. God will show you. If you're truly seeking him, and if he's truly the Lord of your life. He's not a genie that you just go to when you need something. He's far better than that. last scripture I want to go to. We say, who is this Jesus? He is the Lord. The Bible even talks about he is the Lord of lords. You know, in this world, in England, they have titles of Lord. He is above everyone, no matter what their title, their position. Jesus is Lord. But it's not that we get to define what that means in our life. He's already done it. So it means that we get to choose. Are we going to submit to him as Lord now? Or will we submit later? And then it's too late. Because the Bible does say every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But at that moment, you're standing before him on judgment, you've missed your opportunity. It's too late. So we have a chance now to recognize Jesus is Lord. Not only the Lord in heaven, but he's the Lord on earth. He's my Lord. Does that mean I always get it right? No. But it means when I step out of his will, I come back, I say, I am sorry. Teach me to do it better. Help me to get it right. Church, he doesn't need perfection. He needs people who are willing to follow. That's what he's looking for. And if you mess it up, then you just get back and you follow again. Because he's not a harsh master. He is a loving, loving father. But he is Lord. He has power. He has authority. And he says, you have to do it my way. There's no other way. This is it. So in Acts 17, starting in verse 24, thinking about who is this Jesus, it says, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. So human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. Church, we're not doing him a favor. He doesn't need us to follow him. He is God all by himself. He doesn't need us to do anything. He spoke the world into existence. He can do anything by himself. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. And so he made a way that we could come into relationship with him. It goes on, if you skip down, verse 28 says, maybe this is 25, he himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. You say, he satisfies my need. Anyone ever feel a little unsatisfied? If you're honest, there are times in life that we feel unsatisfied, and I wonder if it's because we've got out of alignment and we're not in the will where we need to be. To recognize he is Lord and he is meeting every need I have. He is satisfying every longing that I have. No matter where you are in life, from a kid to a teenager to adult to an older adult, he satisfies every need if we stay in alignment with his will. If we recognize he's the Lord, he's in control, he's ordering my steps and I'm following, then he will satisfy. And maybe you're in a season where you're like, man, it doesn't feel like he is. Just wait. Pastor Joseph last week, to be continued. It's coming. Sometimes faith needs to come into play. You need to hold on and trust what he says until you see it happen with your eyes. Sometimes things are happening in the spiritual world that you have no idea about, and God's working it out, and he's bringing it into alignment where it needs to be, but you just got to stand firm and wait. But you can trust. He is satisfying every single need, whatever it is. But you got to do it his way. I'm one who sometimes in situations I say, better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Because sometimes you're in a situation, maybe at work or something, you're like, I don't know what they're going to say, so I'm just going to do it. And later, if I messed it up, I'll say, I'm sorry, and I won't do it again. Church, with God, it's not that way because, number one, he's always there. He's always available for you to talk to. Sometimes you're in a situation in life where there's no one to talk to, and you've got to do something. You've got to figure it out, work, whatever. If you mess it up, then you apologize. You didn't know, you learned, right? But God is ever present. And so in every situation, rather than figuring out on your own, taking a leap, and then coming back and asking for forgiveness if you missed it, take time first. He has all power and all control. He has the answer that you need. But you got to take time to seek him for it. So in the end, and this is the part I love, it says, for in him we live and move and exist. I think the King James says, in him we live and move and we have our being. If you want to know if he's the Lord of your life, that's the scripture right there. Everything that you do, is it in him? Is your very being who you are? Is that connected to him? Because if it's not, if there's parts of your life that aren't connected to Jesus, I'm questioning if he's your Lord. I've heard my husband say before that he doesn't have secular activities. If he goes bowling, guess what? Jesus lives in me, so Jesus is going bowling with me. If I'm going to watch a movie, Jesus is with me, so you better pay attention to what movies you're watching, right? He is a part of everything I do, and even though the activity may not have a church name on it, maybe it's not anything connected to the Bible directly, it can still be you doing it with Christ in you. He is everything. If in him you live and move and have your being, then everything you're doing should be bringing him glory and honor. And we need to consider that. Does he have control over what I watch? Does he have control over what I listen to? It's not about a list of do's and don'ts, but it's about him saying, I know this isn't good for you. But this over here, this is better for you. So come watch this instead. I was sharing with Dostin, who lives with us. And she was talking about the news. She said, you know, I'm not going to share too much because I want to break confidence. So she's been a little anxious about stuff, and I said, well, what are you watching? And she said, well, I've been watching a lot of news, a lot of bad stuff. Well, maybe you need to consider stop watching so much. And I told her, I said, when I was a teenager, I was watching detective criminal shows. There's a show called Criminal Minds. And I liked the show, but man, I would get in my car, and there would be stuff rolling through my mind. I'd be walking alone on our college campus, and there's stuff rolling through my mind. I'm like, I got to stop watching this. It's not good for me. And so if Jesus is your Lord, he will show you those things. But the question is, will we submit? Because my husband could watch Criminal Minds just fine. It didn't affect him. So, okay, that's between you and God, but I can't watch it. Are we willing to say, God, every part of my life is open to you? You have the ability to scrutinize anything that I do and tell me, yes, this is okay, and no, this isn't. And just because it's not okay for you doesn't mean it's not okay for somebody else. We're not giving you a list of rules. We're saying God's going to give you things to do or not to do to protect you, to keep you healthy and safe. But are we giving him that permission? So I want to show this definition one last time. If the worship team wants to come back. The definition of Lord, one that has power and authority over others. So, church, the truth is, he does have power and authority. He has power and authority over this whole earth. But he's choosing, in this season of grace, to let us have our own free will. Someday that's going to change. But for right now, we have opportunity to choose whether he's going to be the Lord of our life or not. That's our choice right now. And as long as there's breath in your body, you have the opportunity to make that choice. And I asked Debbie to sing a specific song today. It's been on my heart all week as well. And so I'm going to ask that we do a little bit different. I'd like us all to stand up and sing it together first. And then I'm going to give us an opportunity to respond. And And the reason we respond, we have an altar call, is I think it's very important because, like I just said, I'm not your Lord. I can't tell you what God wants to tell you all the time. Sometimes he might reveal something, but he wants to have a relationship with each of you. And so altar time I love because it's an opportunity for you to take time with him and just let him speak it. That you can listen for his voice, for his direct instructions for your life, which is going to be different from someone else's. Don't know how to pray or what to pray. So today I did get a list of scriptures and a little prayer that I just said with each scripture, because if you're not sure how to pray, one of the easiest ways to start is you find a scripture and you pray that scripture. And so that's what I did. And there's 5 or 6 scriptures here. And you can read the scripture and then you can start with the prayer that I put down, but then I encourage you to continue with your own. What does it mean to you? What are you asking God to do? And then be quiet and listen for what God wants to say and speak to you. And probably it's not going to be a loud voice, but you're going to feel a little feeling inside your chest, or you're going to have a little thought in your head that you're going to realize, oh, that wasn't just me. That was God's voice. So if you need this, not everybody will, but if you want this, I'm going to leave it up here. When we respond to altar, grab one if you want. Use that as a resource to help you pray, because it's important to spend time with God, and everybody can do that. Some people think, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. Everybody.